and acts. All right. Now let's have prayer and we'll read a bit for you. Shall we pray? Lord, sanctify now this time and just chase out of this house everything that is not conducive to the speed of the gospel and to the triumph of truth and to the devastation of the devil and his works. And we pray, Father, that you would just take these moments, help me to say what hearts in darkness need to be said, that they might find their way to eternal light. And bless this time together, Lord, as we look in thy word, we ask it with thanks and gratitude in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Job chapter 25 and verse 4, and then we'll drop over to Acts chapter 13. All right, here's a statement in Job, and listen to this. It's a question. Job 25, verse 4. It says, how then can a man be justified with God? How can a man be justified with God? Many of you know that on a computer, there's a thing called justification of the margin. And that means getting it straight. How can a man be straight with God? You want to know the answer? Look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 38 and 39. You want to be straight? All right. Acts 13, 38, 39. A missionary is preaching in a Jew synagogue in an ancient city of Antioch. Look what he dares tell his congregation. Verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by this man, by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Well, I'll begin by saying good morning. Today, I want to give you message number 2 on the subject of important words in the Bible. Now, last Sunday, we looked at the first important word, and that was the word repentance. Today, we're looking at the second one, and that's the word justification, justified. Now, the text asks the question, how can a man be justified with God? And I want to tell you, he can be too. And if in looking at this business of justification and this particular important word, there are 4 things I want to take you through. Number 1, I want to show you what justification means. We've hinted at it. Number 2, I want to show you who needs to be justified. Number 3, how justification is obtained. And here's the best one. Number 4, what justification does for those who have it. That's our way we're going today. Can we be justified? You better believe we can. And in these 4 little points, we'll reach the end of a happy road. Number 1, how can a man be justified? What does the word justification mean? Now listen carefully. This word, justify or justification, and its different forms, is stretched right across the Bible. In fact, our English words, jury, justice, judge, justice of peace, and jurisprudence. All those English words are family words to that old time word justify or justification. Now, let me point out something to you who study the Bible. Most of the Bible words, you will not find their meaning in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. I've heard a number of our men saying, I'm going to the Webster's Dictionary. And I've got news for you. You'll only find a smattering of it if you even find that in the dictionary. And this word justification, you won't find its meaning there, for sure. This word, justification, is traced back and has its origin in the most ancient courts known to man. Justification is a legal word. And its origin is in the sunrise of antiquity. Let's go back to one of those courts. And let me show you how justification was firstly used as far as its root meaning is concerned. Now here's a courtroom scene. At the conclusion of the trial, when all the arguments had been presented, the judge would stand and pronounce his verdict. If the accused was considered innocent in the estimation of the judge, he would stand, raise his hand toward the accused, and he would shout out this word, Dikaiua. Dikaiua. And everybody in the court knew what that word meant back then and now. That's the Greek word from which you find justify in your Bible. It goes back to the ancient courts and the judge giving his verdict. Dikaiua. Now, it's just a little bit something like our word not guilty. This old-fashioned ancient word dikaiua had two meanings in the judge's mind and everybody's mind then. They all knew what it meant. It's just Baptists that don't know today. They all knew what it meant. It's like you're up for murder and you're innocent, and the trial goes on, and finally they say, we find him not guilty. You've seen them faint and collapse and burst into elation and hugging and running over chairs and others cursing and swearing. Same thing today. But dikaiua is more loaded than not guilty. When that ancient, especially Greek or Persian judge would use the word dikaiua, it's very interesting, he'd hold his hand out towards the one in front of him. Now, in that time, it carried two meanings. Number one, it meant that the accused had been determined by the judge as cleared of all charges. We today would say acquitted. But it doesn't stop there. Second meaning, it also meant not only had he been acquitted or cleared of all charges, but it meant that the judge was now declaring him totally righteous. Glory. That's what it meant. Now, if you want to project yourself into that courtroom before Almighty God, the judge of all men, you might get some relation there. So, justification, what does it mean? Dikaiua, our justification, meant cleared of all charges by the supreme voice and declared absolutely righteous as he marched out of that courtroom. That's the meaning of justification in your Bible. All right, number two. Who needs to be justified? Anybody here tonight need a dikaiua pronounced over your messed up life? Anybody listening to the tape, you need the big judge to raise his hand and say, dikaiua. He's innocent and righteous when he steps out of my justice. Who needs justification? Most of us know, maybe some on the tape who are listening might not know, most of us know that from start to finish, the Bible over and over informs us what we really are. Now, your mother won't. Your grandmother won't. Your wife or your husband, except when they're mad, might not. But in the Bible, from start to finish, the Scripture just tells us what we are before God the Judge. Let me give you a few places. Back in the very early days of the earth, before God sent the worldwide flood in the days of Noah. Hey, it's not a myth either, that flood. You know why God sent that flood? He was fed up. He'd had enough of this mess. He'd gone 1,696 years at least and said, that's long enough, I've had enough of it. And here's what he said just before he sent the flood. In Genesis 6:5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now that was before Noah's flood. A little later on, about 1,000 years later, in 1 Kings 8:46, God said, there's no man that doesn't sin. And then we move a little further down the road. In Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11, God gives another verdict of this mess called humanity. And God said, the heart of the sons of men is fully set to do evil. That's quite a verse. In the New Testament, in Romans 3:19, listen to this one. Now, we start in the old, we're in the new. In the New Testament, God hadn't changed His estimation at all. In that great passage in Romans 3:19, the writer says, all the world is guilty before God. All the world before God. I wish I could get that better than I do. All the world guilty before God. No wonder the question was asked back there by Job's taunting friend Bildad. You know, Bildad asked that question, Bob, and he told on himself when he asked it. It told his condition. He said, how can a man be justified with God? If he had known how a man could have been justified with God, he would have never put such a stupid question. You see, he's telling on himself. He's saying, I don't really know. Job, do you know? Does anybody know how we can be put straight and get the margin right and hear a great Dakayua pronounce? Anybody can help us? That's what Bildad's coming across with. He's taunting Job. It's interesting. It says Job was a righteous man and a cleared man. How? Who needs it? Who needs justification? Well, I tell you, we all need it. Every boy, every girl, every member, every visitor, every teenager, all of us need to hear God say, when our case is brought to court, and I want to tell you, the evidence against most of us is damning, period. Damning. We're doomed. The whole world is guilty. And all of us need the judge who will do right to say, I've examined the evidence. There's another factor that's been brought into this case. I'm going to explain that factor now. And on the basis of this factor that's been brought into court, I pronounce him Dakayua. Isn't that marvelous? That's marvelous. My. No wonder the big question, how can we be justified with God? Let me point something out to you in answering this part, who needs justification. We all need it. Every one of us do. It's marvelous that the judge who knows what we are and has said what we are, and a few of the quotations I've given you from start to the beginning of the New Testament, is indeed marvelous that the judge, before he pronounced the verdict, decided he would make an effort to become the justifier. That's quite wonderful. The judge says, before I give them their due, I will perform an act whereby they all may be justified if they will accept it, and if not, they shall be damned. That's marvelous indeed. God steps forward and He Himself provides the means whereby the guilty world may be justified and hear the long-waited-for dikaiua pronounced over them. God the judge was moved by loving compassion and concern over the mess we were all in. You know what we do? The love of man is to love those who love you, and sometimes that's pretty hard. The love of God is to love them all without qualification. Now, all of us who have been saved, we fall under that last definition there. And God was so moved with the mess that the world was in, He provided the only way whereby the same world, the mess it was in, could be declared justified by Him who's the judge. Question 3. This brings us now, how is justification before God to be obtained? Tell me, do you want to hear God at judgment say, dikaiua? The evidence is stacked up, and it's horrific for most of us, and we know there's no way out. Not like the Australian woman who told me in the front door many, many years ago. She said, what are you out here in this hot sun visiting for? I said, I'm trying to tell people about God and judgment. She looked at me and she said, mate, I've talked my way out of everything, even with my dumb husband, and said, I'll talk my way out of judgment before God. Boy, that'll win the Nobel Prize for ignorance, won't it? On the front page of the book. That Guinness ought to put that one with a frame around it. But do you know we have people living the same way today? Maybe sitting in this church, there's some of you. Listen, pal, you may lie and swindle and cheat and beat and hawk and hook and get around this one, that. But I want to tell you, every man shall stand before God. Everybody. Makes Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, the whole shooting match, we're all going to stand before God. Like Brother Tony said, do you ever look in the mirror and see what a skunk there is on the other side looking back at you? That's where we are. The whole world is condemned and guilty before God, and the same God who should step forward and say, all right, I'll give you your due. It's hell for every one of you. The God said, no, I can't do it. I've got to have compassion. I've got to give everybody that opportunity. We use the word chance. That's maybe not the best word. I want to give all humanity that opportunity to hear me say, dikaiua. Oh, the evidence is gone, and you're leaving the courtroom righteous. Oh, my and my. Do you want it? How do we get it? Well, I've already told you. There's only one way. I can be justified, and you can be justified. I can't be justified because I'm a preacher. Hell will be full of preachers. Amen? Hell will be full of missionaries. Hell will be full of patrons and fathers and patriarchs and priests and popes and preachers. Hell will be full of them because they've never been justified God's way. Be full of church members too. Be there. How can I find this justification? Some 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this circus. He was hated from day one. There wasn't even a place for Him to be born. And the leaders of religion spat on Him and railed Him 7 different times. And He was hanging naked, tied, and crucified on the cross. And He's the only man that never sinned. Hey, that's a paradox. Boy, that you talking about an abortion of justice. Where's our Jewish prudence here? It collapses. God sent that innocent Son into the world, and that innocent Son was nailed on the cross as the only sinless man who ever lived in this mess. He never committed a sin, despite what the Unitarians say. He was innocent. And when they nailed Him on that cross, God reached back to Adam in the garden, and God reached to the last little baby, not even been born yet. And you know, I don't ever get tired of saying that.
When a man gets tired of saying that, a preacher, he's running on a flat tire. God reached from the first to the last, and hey, that includes me and you in between somewhere. And God took all that stuff called sin, all that vileness, all that wrong. Say, you know what's in your life. You know what you've done. You know what you haven't done. There's so much of it, I can't even remember it. All of us are there. But God took all of that sin, and then God laid that sin. He said, here's my plan. I need to judge them. They need to be in hell on the front seat, chained, maybe with both legs broken. But God said, here's my plan. I'll take the sin of this one and that one. I'll take the sin of the world. I laid on the sinless Christ, and then I will condemn and judge and kill. The wages of sin is death. I will kill Christ for man's sin, just like Christ had committed it. And boy, here comes the sunrise. We're all saddled with a debt we can't pay. And you know what you've done, and I know what I've done, and maybe, as I've said, we've done so much, you know, we don't remember it all. That part's even worse. But I want to listen, somebody's going to have to pay for my sin. Someone's going to have to be judged for what I've done. And it's either me or somebody who's qualified. Well, Bob's not qualified. He's one of my best mates. Ron's not qualified because he's a sinner too. Who's qualified? The sinless Son of God came. And God took all of your sin, put it on Christ, and God judged him, God condemned him, and Isaiah said it pleased God to put him, bruise him, and put him to death. Now, that's quite a thing. You know, the liberals stand in their pulpit saying that, you know, they're so nice, they stink. You know. Not all churches are like this, but you know how it is with some of them. The biggest thieves in town sitting in the pew. And here's Yahoo Willie in the pulpit. The Lord loves us all. Let's marry homosexuals. Never say anything about sodomy because the ACLU might sue us. Have we gone mad? Have we flipped our wig? Are we off our rockers? Listen, folks, despite what political correctness is and all the rest of it, I want to tell you the trouble with Radcliffe and the trouble with Hardin County and the trouble with America and the trouble with me and you and the whole world is sin. That's the trouble, man, right there. Sin. It's not you forgot. Let me tell you, you were born with a dirty heart just like me. And we've all practiced it. All have sinned and come short. All we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible said. You know the verses as well as me. I've used them many times up here. We're talking about we need to be justified. I'm in a mess. And I'm standing before the judge. Not some jackleg, the judge. And the judge says, before I damn him to hell, I'm going to provide a method. I've sent Christ. Christ has died for his sin. He won't have to die for it. Christ is risen from the dead. He don't have to worry about that hole in the ground because my son got up and walked out of that thing. And man, he's alive. You see? And God says, don't have to worry about your sin. Don't have to worry about that dark, dark grave. Hey, you're heading there. I told those soldiers a couple of Saturdays ago, soldier, you can't get out of this world alive. Nor can you. God said, I've provided it all. God raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places. And the program of God is this. If a man will hear this and believe this and realize that he's a sinner and repent and just by simple faith believe in Christ, he's justified from all things. That's what the missionary said. And he said that in a Jew synagogue. And no bigger thieves ever lived in those days than the crowd in the synagogue. And here's a little missionary said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, my, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by this man all that believe are justified from all things. That's too good to be true, Ron. But it's true. How's it obtained? Just told you. It's obtained by repentance and faith. That's how it's obtained, that way. It's not obtained by sprinkling of infants or baptizing of adults. It's not obtained by stop beating your wife or lying to your husband. It's not obtained by the cessation of stealing from your boss or cheating on your boss. Now, those things are in order. A man is only justified before God when that man comes as a lost sinner, or that woman, or that boy, or that girl. We've got to come as lost sinners. Lost sinners. Years ago, in 1961, in our first church in Australia, we had one Jewish couple in town, and we visited and got the woman and there were German Jews into the church. And she was a lovely one, a very social climbing woman. And she'd come to church and come to church. And we went by a house one day visiting with her. We were talking, and she said, "Mr. Pike, I want to tell you one thing." Said, "You or nobody else going to tell me I'm a sinner." She wasn't mean. She wasn't ugly. She was more sincere than some of you are knowing the truth. She said, "Nobody is going to tell me I'm a sinner." Schneider was her name. "Nobody's going to tell me I'm a sinner." And so I took the Bible again to read First John. I went right through the verses. I said, she says, "Regardless of what that says, I know that's true, but that doesn't apply to me. I'm not a sinner." She'd been a good woman, a virtuous woman. She loved your husband. She loved a little daughter. She did the best she could. That's what Mrs. Geddes, the first convert, that's the testimony. She said, "Mrs. Schneider's a good woman." And that's her problem. She's not really willing to fess up and face the fact that she's a sinner. And she didn't. Anyway, the story ends years and years later. She came down with C-A-N-C-E-R. Uh-huh. And I mean, boy, it ate her out and up and in and over and under. And the same woman, Mrs. Geddes, went to her house when they went in there visiting, and she said, "Mrs. Geddes, I know I'm a sinner. Can you help me?" And she was saved and dead a week later. Now, some people have to come to that. All shouldn't come to that. Everybody should. But I'm going to tell you what. It's better to have the body eat up with cancer than to scream in hell forever. Isn't it? Unless you're insane. How do you receive it? I tell you, fall on your knees on the floor and say, "God, save my soul. I'm a lost sinner. I believe in Jesus Christ." That's how you get it. I've seen them jump up in the middle of the service. I saw a man jump over the back seat, a little low seat one night. I've seen, listen, where is it today? We're not conscious of sin anymore. The television has so spoiled us, brother. They're jumping in and out of the bed with one another. And then, "He's my fiance. She's my fiance." Why don't you tell the truth? They're your partner in adultery. Why don't you tell the truth? Now, you don't like that, do you? Well, can't help it. I tell you, one of these days, when we stand before the judge, you know what the Greek word for judge is? Crisis. K-R-I. Our English word, C-R-I. Crisis. I'm telling you, if you stand before God Almighty without the blood of Christ has washed your sins away, pal, you're in a crisis situation. Crisis. Now, today, I'm through in closing. Today, right now, God wants to stand over you and raise His hand to the world and say, "Dikayua, He's acquitted, and He's going out of here righteous. Glory. I've forgiven Him, and I've given Him my righteousness, and He's cleared in my sight." The marvelous beauty of conversion. Say it again, Paul. By Him, Christ, all that believe are justified. You get your margin straight. Justified of all things. Let me give you one last verse and we're through. Isaiah 61:10. Listen to this. The prophet said, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord." Why? "My soul shall be joyful in God." Well, come on, Isaiah. What's the joyous occasion over? Tell me. "For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation and covered me with a robe of righteousness." Now, if you'd like to leave here this morning greatly rejoicing, greatly rejoicing. If you'd like to leave here this morning with real confidence, God has a garment for you. All righty, sit. That'll fit. Come on. Come to me. Take Christ as your personal Savior. You're cleared of all charges, and I'll clothe you with the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. That's yours now in Him. In Him. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? How can a man be justified with God? Answer it, Paul. By Christ all that believe are dikaiua, cleared, made righteous from all things. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it works. Lord, bless this important word in the Bible. And pray now, Lord, that it will be understood and there be no more hocus pocus or clouding. And what Bildad asked, we pray the Holy Spirit has answered. And pray, Lord, that you'd speak to those who need this today. For Jesus' sake. Let's keep our heads bowed. Everyone who's physically able, please stand with your heads bowed, if you will, please. Just a moment. Everyone who's physically able, stand with your heads bowed. All right, just a moment. Just a moment. Brother Russ, I'm going to ask you if you'll come and stand right down here at the pulpit, please, if you'll do that. Ron, you stand right over here. Bring your Bibles, fellas. All right, Brother Ron Thompson and Brother Russ Brown, these are trusted men in the church here. All right, I'm going to ask our musicians to play through whatever they have, or the musician. Now listen to me. If you want to be justified, if you want to this great word, dikaiua, spoken by God over you, cleared and righteous, you receive it by coming to Jesus Christ, and by simple faith, take Him as your Lord and Savior. All right, play. Now, if God's talking to your heart, you come right on. There are men right down here to help you. We have ladies to help the ladies. You come right on. Don't wait. Don't wait. Bring your wife, bring your husband, bring your family, whatever. That we don't care. Come. The Lord. Hey, you're not joining the church. We're trying to help you get saved from hell. That's what we're doing. Jesus. If you need some help and some support, you raise your hand and wave at me. And I'll send somebody back there to support you and help you. You can do that right now, and I'll see. If God's talking to your heart right now, and you know, I wouldn't, He would, you would know, and He knows. About it, how can a man be justified with God? By Christ, all that believe are justified. That's how it works.
Musician, play one more time and we'll be finished. One more time. Now see, we have another opportunity. Perhaps you've been saved. Man, you know you've been saved, but say, your life is a scrambled egg. It's a scrambled egg, and you want to put it back together. The world's longest journey begins with the first step forward. Make that step today. If we can help you that way, please come. Thank you for your attention this morning. You listen well. I always wait around up here. I'm afraid I'll get knocked over out in the hall. Maybe, Brother Tony, you could go outside there at the door and meet our visitors if you do that for us, Tony. And if we can help you, speak to Brother Fowler at the door, or I'll be down here, or some of the women would be glad to help you. Now, I don't think this service has ended like it should, but Russ, that's out of my hands. I've done everything that my little pea brain knows to do from the human point of view. I don't think it's ended right. But the beauty about that, the mercy of God goes a long, long way with all of us. Now, we're waiting to help you speak to somebody. And I know most people here have been saved, but I'll tell you, there's people here today that have never been saved. They don't even know this thing. And this is our outreach and thrust. All right, thank you for your attention. Let's move out quietly. They're still praying with Mary here. We'll be dismissed. Let's bow our heads, shall we, please, each one? Brother Brad Ford, please close this meeting. We'll be dismissed.